You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It is once again digital drive time on a Monday. We speak to our resident tech and EV specialist, Nafisa Akabor. She is the founder of recharged.co.za, and we get all the latest scoop in the world of tech. This week, we are diving into the world of wearables. Nafisa, thank you so much for taking the time. Always lovely to have you on the show. Wearables have changed over the last couple of years. We've gone from having just smartwatches be considered wearables to everything from Aura rings to companies like VezoPay coming out with their own products. What does the world of wearables look like in 2025?
Hey, Jimmy, good to be back. Yeah, the world of wearables is changing in a sense that we're now seeing more ring-based wearables versus your smartwatch, which we've always had. And recently, South Africa has been sort of got more access to the Aura ring, as you mentioned, Aura Ring 4, but that is brought exclusively to South Africa with Discovery. It also happens to be the world's number one smart ring brand. They've sold over 5.5 million rings, and clearly they're doing something right. This ring tracks your health and well-being, and it monitors your sleep, your activity, heart rate, that kind of thing, as people are more into health and wellness and monitoring that. And then the other ring, as you mentioned, VezoPay, it was launched last year with Nedbank, but FNB has now announced support for it, which I suppose would make it more mainstream. This is an interesting device because it's a payment ring. So it's not, that's all it does. It doesn't even have a battery. You don't have to worry about charging it or worrying about another dead device. It just uses near-field communication, which is NFC, to tap to pay. It's interesting how these devices are sort of changing our lifestyle. For example, the VezoPay, they're kind of marketing it at people. If you don't want to take your phone on a run, or maybe if you're going somewhere remotely, then you can just take this payment ring and pay without worrying about, accessing your phone, or if you can't access it, or if you don't even want to carry a physical bank card. Yeah, so I think that's quite interesting to see what's happening trend-wise.
Nafisa, let's take a look at this crossover, this merge between convenience and safety. You mentioned something interesting about the fact that those that go on runs that might not want to take their cell phones with them still have the option of saying, I'm going to stop by a coffee shop afterwards to grab a coffee without having to worry about how to pay for that. How is that kind of intersection coming together between safety and convenience? Because initially it was more about convenience, but now we're including safety elements too.
Yes, because it actually doesn't use your card number. I'm sure you're familiar with like a tokenization method that Apple Pay uses. So it's actually safer in that way that your details are also not being compromised. It's never your actual card number that's being loaded on these devices. So in that regard, hypothetically, if you lose your ring or something happens, you can just disable that card. It's not your physical card that you're loading in on it anyway. It's always like a virtual card or a version of your card. So I think that's also quite important because a lot of people have a misconception about carrying wallets or like not wanting to use technology. But I think this ring is in a way is a bit safer. The same way I feel about smartwatches, it's also safer than carrying a physical wallet.
Speaking of smartwatches, Nafisa, where do we go from a wearable perspective now? Because the ring fits on your hand, on your finger, the watch fits around your wrist. Are we seeing anything else develop in the wearable space that could potentially mean that we're seeing other technological advancements?
I think that the two devices have different target audiences, and maybe this is not the mainstream opinion, because if you think about it, smartwatches, I think I've mentioned before, they are ugly, so to speak. A lot of women don't want to wear them. So I think it's targeting different audiences as well who don't want to wear something chunky on their wrist, and they want something discreet, but they also want to monitor their health. So far, I think the ring trend seems to be on the right track. But if you are an athlete, or if you run, or if you swim, you probably want to wear the watch and not a smart ring.
Nafisa, what about other use cases beyond the fitness and the health tracking and that? I mean, there are other wearables out there like Meta glasses, for example, that have different functionalities completely, but still would classify technically as a wearable.
Yes, it's actually quite an interesting space. If you think about all these little devices and gadgets that are coming out, wearables, it's actually making you rely less on your smartphone. Have you noticed that? I mean, for the longest time, we've all been addicted to our phones. We do everything from our phone. And now, with the rise of these types of devices, you don't have to worry about picking up your phone as much as you used to in the past. So I think that's very interesting.
Nafisa, do these wearables speak to each other? Do they communicate in some way, shape, or form? I mean, if I've got more than one piece of wearable tech, Can I use all of it at once? Is it advisable to even use all of it at once?
So there's two answers to that. Yes, you can use it at once, but they all don't speak to each other in terms of linking to each other from an operating system level. For example, like this Visa, like they won't interlink with each app. So they are going to be very fragmented on different apps. So you're wearing everything, but they're all not on one interface, so to speak.
Nafisa, something else that bothers consumers, especially in the tech space, is costing and pricing. Are wearables becoming more affordable at the moment, or is it more around the use case? The more versatile and the more useful the wearable is, the more the manufacturer feels they are able to charge for the product.
So they're still very expensive. We have to say in South Africa, for example, the Aura Ring I mentioned, it's the full price is about just under 10,000 Rand. That's still quite a bit. But if you are with the medical aid, you can get it through that plan. And the other Visa Pay Ring, it is not a cheap device, in my opinion. You still have to pay a fair amount for these devices. But I think if there's more adoption, generally like any other product, the price will come down. But I also think it depends on the use case. South Africa tends to be very unique with our needs. And I mean, I know some of us are still not on smartphones. So obviously you're not going to need the ring. So I do think that particular item is going to serve a very niche market, like most of these smart devices.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually, around adoption and whether or not there's accessibility from a product perspective. I suppose from a South African perspective, it does also mean then that we might have to start to look at things differently. Could this be an opportunity, Nafisa, then, to adopt more technologically advanced things and kind of move into a different era? I mean, South Africans have never been afraid to try out new things. And I suppose with the younger generations, some of these generations have only grown up on tech and wouldn't know anything outside of it. Could this be just further evidence that we might be heading down that road in future?
I think so, because, I mean, the more people adopt it and the younger generation, they're very tech-savvy first. They could want these by default, and that will obviously add to how popular the product is, and that could also drive the prices down.
The world of wearables is setting up to be potentially the future of what consumer engagement and consumer demand could look like. We'll keep an eye on that and see how consumers respond to these new products and these new insights. But if we don't and we happen to miss out on it, we can be rest assured that our resident tech and EV specialist, Nafisa Akabor, will keep an eye on it for us and bring us all the latest. Thanks so much, Nafisa. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Always lovely having you on the show. And thank you for bringing us all the latest updates.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.